I'll do my best just to obey the Lord, and we'll go to the house. John chapter 13, verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, for that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And now supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he had was girded. And then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example. You can underline that word right there in your Bible. That's what this is all about. It's about an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And if the Lord will help me tonight, I just want to expound these verses and just kind of tell you what's going on in this scripture. I'm just going to kind of read through this and point out a couple of things as we go. And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. If there's anything you can say about God, he is love. And the Lord Jesus, that's not his only attribute, but that is a great attribute. But he loved his people. If you want to know anything about the fruit of the Spirit living in a human being, you look at how they love, and how they love unconditionally, and how they have that agape love, or God's love. And I think that's one of the most important things that we share among the children of God, is the love that God gives us for one another, the love that God gives us for he himself, the love that God gives us for this world, for those that are around us, and the sympathy and the empathy that God allows us to have. It's such a Christ-like thing to love one another and to really care about others and care about their feelings. And I can be honest with you tonight. When God saved me, just before he saved me, I was madly, passionately in love with myself. I knew what it was to love Mike, but I did not know what it was to love anybody else. And I had a wonderful wife. As good a wife as any lost woman could have ever been to any lost man. But I didn't know what love was. I thought I did, and I didn't. I didn't know how to love my wife. I can stand before you honestly and say I did not know the love of Christ, and I did not know how to love my wife. And there's such a change that God has made in my life, and I hope he's made it in yours, to teach you what love is and what it is to love somebody besides yourself, and how Christ-like it is to love others and to care about the needs of others. They have no idea what's about to take place. The disciples of the Lord, even though that Christ told them in no uncertain terms that he's about to lay down his life. That's what he came to this world to do. But yet his disciples do not understand. Somehow or another, it goes over their head. It has escaped them. They don't know what's fixing to take place. And they're about to see the absolute apex of any expression of love that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's what's about to happen. And the Lord Jesus wants to show them an example. Supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Judas Iscariot, Satan has entered into him. Satan actually dealt with his heart, but Satan actually entered into him. Judas Iscariot is a type, a picture in typology of who? The Antichrist. What is the very apex of the Christian religion for a child of God? It's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is going to happen during the tribulation when the Antichrist is killed? He's going to lay dead in the street, and then he is going to raise up from the dead. What's going to happen to that man, the Antichrist? Satan himself is going to enter into his body and raise him up. That's what's going to happen. And that's, you see that being typified here in Satan entering into Judas Iscariot. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus realizes that he has come from God. He has condescended to the lowliest state of being a human man. He's here among men on earth, and he's about to ascend back to the Father. And he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, what I do thou knowest not. He said, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing here, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And the Lord Jesus explained to him, Simon, you need to get a hold of something. There's something you've got to understand here. That this is something that every child of God is going to experience. If you're going to be part of the body of Christ, you are going to have to understand what is taking place here. Primarily, there are two things that are taking place here. I'll move on. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said, Lord, don't just wash my feet. Do this thing right. Now, there's something you got to understand that takes place here. It was customary among the Jews, and the Pharisees got all twisted up in a knot because they felt like that the disciples of the Lord didn't wash their hands enough before they eat. And there was great discussion went on about that, but it was customary among the Jews that they washed their hands and they washed their faces, or their head, if you will, before they ate. And so Simon sees this taking place, and so now he's affiliating this with this washing that's taking place. That must be what's going on. But that wasn't what was going on, and the Lord was trying to teach him something he wasn't even understanding. And the Lord Jesus tells him, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not, save, the word save means except, only to wash his feet. But he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Boy, there's a lot of confusion in Scripture right here. let me just help you out here for a minute or two. What he's telling him, he said, Simon, you don't understand. You are clean. Jesus said two chapters later, as he begins to give this discourse to his disciples here, the Lord Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. They're saved. They're clean. They're washed in the blood. They are blood-bought children of God. They are saved through the power of the word of God. And Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Jesus is talking about positionally, and he is talking about their hearts being clean. Okay? So there must be something else going on here, because that ain't what the Lord's doing. He ain't saving him. He ain't washing his heart. He's washing his feet. There's two things fixing to come in here. One of them's humility. One of them's holiness. Stay with me just a minute. And the word of God said here, he that is washed, that means Peter, who was already clean through the word, saved, needeth not saved to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. What did he mean when he said not all? He's talking about Judas Iscariot. He said not all 12 of you are clean. Not all 12 of you are saved. Not all 12 of you have had your heart washed. Judas Iscariot, he ain't in this deal. So he was speaking of the 11 being clean, as in they're clean in their hearts. Now let me help you out here. There's a lot of churches, maybe a little more in some mountain churches back where we come from. They incorporate foot washing into the Lord's Supper. And when they do that, I wouldn't make fun of them for a minute. I understand where they're coming from, and I understand their ideology behind that. But that's not where this is going to at all, not even a little bit. As a matter of fact, that is not given as one of the things that the Lord has commanded the church to do, not foot washing. But the Lord is teaching his disciples here something very practical that he wants them to understand. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you example that ye should do as I have done. Now, there's two words I'm going to give you real quick, and I'll give you three words to go along with that, and we're going to the house. Number one, the Lord was giving them an example of his humility, that he was willing, even though he was God in the flesh, even though he was their master, he was their Lord, and he allowed them to understand that he was their master. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus had told them in a different discourse, call no man master? The word master literally means a religious teacher. And the Lord Jesus was the only one qualified to be their religious teacher. He is going to be crucified. He is going to be buried 3 days, resurrected. And after 50 days, he's going to send the Holy Ghost of God that will be the new teacher that will lead them into all truth. And the Lord Jesus, in this position, has shown his willingness to condescend to a place or position of a servant, that he was willing to wash their feet. I see the humility, and he was telling them that if you watch me, he was God in the flesh, have a willingness to get down and wash your feet in such a menial servant's task, then that needs to be your attitude dealing with one another. Church, are you hearing me? That ought to be our attitude dealing with everybody else in the church. It's an attitude of a servant, and the Lord Jesus told. See, they didn't know this. They didn't understand. But there's going to come a day that the Holy Ghost is going to come on them, and Jesus is going to give them power, and they're going to have signs and wonders, and they're going to be able to heal folks. They're going to be able to raise the dead. They're going to be able to do all kinds of things. But he said, there's something you got to understand before any of that ever takes place. You're going to have to learn humility. If God's ever going to bless us, if God's ever going to move in this place, and we're going to see folks saved, born in the Spirit of God. If God ever pours His Holy Ghost out in this place and lets us see a little touch of revival in this place, before God ever does that, He's going to make sure we understand humility. You know why? Because I done seen folks, I've been around this for a day or two, and I'm going to tell you something I've seen. The danger when God goes to moving in mighty power, the danger in the when any chain breaks, you know this, what causes the chain to break? Its weakest link. When God starts moving in power, the weakest link in the whole thing ain't God. It ain't His Word. It ain't the work of the Holy Spirit of God. What's that weakest link? It's our flesh. That's what'll break this thing down. And I've seen folks that God moved so mightily that I've watched them get lifted up in pride because of what God had done. And they got to looking at things and looking at situations and judging everybody else and everything else based on what God had done for them. And they messed up their deal by doing that. And the Lord is trying to teach His disciples about humility. There's something else that He's teaching them, a great lesson, and not just humility. You think about this. You see if you can get a hold on this. Why did Peter kick up such a ruckus about the Lord washing his feet? Because, first of all, it was humbling, humiliating, if you will, for someone to assume the role of the servant. And if you think about that, if I were to come to you, Brother C.L., tonight, and I would say, "Brother, take your shoes off, I'm going to wash your feet," it would take a great deal of humility for me to do that. But stop and think just a minute, brother, what would it do to you? It would take a great deal of humility for you to kick your shoes off and let me. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what gets me and you in trouble. We're like Peter, and the Lord's willing to do the office of a servant here for Peter. And Peter said, "Lord, you gonna wash my feet? No, this ain't happening." And the Lord said, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me." And what He's trying to teach him, a lesson of humility here, because there's another practical application that comes along with this, and it's more than just humility, even though it is humility in the act of a servant, but it's holiness. Understand what's taking place. They come in to eat the Paschal feast. They're here to eat the Passover, and it's the Last Supper. They've washed their hands, they've washed their face, and they've come into the dining hall to eat. But there's something that you've got to lay hold on. It is a beautiful and a wonderful thing, and I love this, and it pictures this. There are three things you that are note takers can write these down when it comes to righteousness. There is, first of all, positional righteousness. Positional righteousness. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ paid my sin debt, that the Lord Jesus called me, and that He gave me the invitation, and He saved me by grace through faith. When God the Father looks at me, He sees me through Christ. And positionally, I've still got a sin nature. I still mess up. But positionally, in Christ, what God sees my positional righteousness. And in Christ, in the eyes of God the Father, when God sees me, He sees me through Christ. I am just as clean and just as righteous and just as holy as Jesus is. What about that? That's what God sees when He sees us. That's positional righteousness. At the rapture of the church, when God takes us out of these vile mortal bodies, these human bodies, we are going to experience something we've never experienced, Sister Sheila. We are going to experience a permanent righteousness. Never to sin again. Never to break God's heart again. Brother Daddy, never, never again will we ever have to humble ourselves and say, "God, I'm sorry I broke your heart again. God, I did
did it again. Lord, I messed up again. That's going to be a permanent righteousness that we'll never have to say we're sorry again. But there's a third thing that we must deal with on a regular basis in our life, and that is practical righteousness. Practical righteousness, and that goes hand in hand with sanctification. And here we are. They've washed their hands. They've washed their face. But what did they do on their way from the wash basin to the table? They got their feet dirty. What got their feet dirty? Contact with this ungodly world. And as a child of God who has a positional righteousness, Brother Danny, in Christ, I still got to walk in this ungodly world. And I don't have to sin every day, as some people purport that we have to sin every day. But there are days that I walk through filth. And there are days you are going to get your feet dirty. And there are days that you are going to have to humble yourself like Peter had to humble himself. And you're going to have to come before Christ. And you're going to have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I never meant to ever do this to you again. I never meant to ever do this. But I messed up. And I've got my feet dirty. And I can't wash them. I can't do one thing to clean myself up. I can't cleanse my conscience. I can't do anything. Lord, I'm going to have to trust you. God, you're going to have to wash me. You don't have to wash your head. You don't have to wash your hands, Brother Danny. You ain't got to get saved again. He told Peter, he said, you're clean. I don't need to wash your hands. I don't need to wash your head. You don't need to get saved again. You need your feet washed. What a sweet picture. A picture of humility and a picture of holiness that he's taught his disciples to be servants to one another. But he's taught his disciples that if you're going to walk in holiness, Miss Sheila, Jesus fixing to leave this world. He's fixing to leave. And here they are. They spent the last 3.5 years, every day they've spent with him. And essentially to them, they're fixing to lose him. They're fixing to lose the one they've walked with. Could you imagine that if we were together every single day for 3.5 years and then suddenly our leader was gone and the Lord's trying to teach them such a valuable, such a wonderful lesson. Youngins, I'm leaving you here. I'm going to leave you in this dirty world. God did not see fit to let us live during the days of Christ. God did not see fit to let us live during the Reformation period 400 years ago. God did not see fit to let us live during the First Great Awakening in the 1700s. God did not see fit to let us live in the Second Great Awakening in the 1800s. God saw fit, Miss Judy, to let us live right here, right now, in the 21st century. And this world is so wicked on every hand and every side. And the powers of evil and the powers of darkness are on every hand. You can't even drive down the interstate without seeing filth on a billboard just driving down the highway. It's all around us. It's everywhere you look. And if you walk very far in this world, I promise you, you will get your feet dirty. And you are going to need some cleaning. And you are going to need some cleansing. And you cannot do that for yourself.